and it's really heartbreaking. There's so many questions to be asked, but people seem not even interested. Questions like our purpose, how we got here, life after death. It seems that people don't even want to understand. Now, it's hard for that reason, but it's also hard when you turn it on yourself. And in light of that, I have a few notes to preface before we get into this. First, this message is primarily for you. This message is not primarily for the person you might have thought of upon reading this, or primarily for the foolish person. We are called to first take the log out of our own eyes before looking at the speck in our brother's. This verse is a good moral for anyone, but what makes this, as a Christian, and what makes this a Christian sermon is that any moral we seek to grow in needs to be motivated by the gospel, and it should rest in the gospel. And what I mean by this is that because Jesus lived a sinless life and died on your behalf to save you from sin and bring you to God, who is now your Father, you should strive to grow as one of his sons or daughters. And by resting in the gospel, I mean that if you mess up in any of the good you should have done, then rest in Christ's finished work. And remember, you are accepted because of him, never because of your performance. Now, Proverbs are given to assist God's people in wise living in all of life. They apply to the world around us, to your personal relationships, and they apply between you and God. This one tonight is no exception. So everything I'm going to say will be in reference to all aspects of life and how to apply this. And again, there are many ways to apply this particular proverb, so don't stop with just listening to this sermon. It's my prayer that you will continue to think about this verse as we go from here. Now, over Christmas break, I watched one of my favorite movies, Remember the Titans, and I couldn't help but root for so many moments in that movie. And I'd say spoiler alert, but you all should have seen this movie by now. It's based on the true story of the late African-American coach Herman Boone in his attempt to integrate the T.C. Williams High School football team in Virginia in 1971. One of the leading white characters, Gary, a captain of the defense for the team, says before the season that he doesn't want to play for any of the black animals that are coming in. Tempers quickly flare as he fights early on with the co-captain of the defense, a young black man, Julius. They continue to go at each other over and over until they finally come together through many lessons, practices, and games. One night, after a game late in the season, Gary is in a devastating car crash. When Julius walks into the hospital to visit him, the nurse informs him that only family can be there. Gary smugly informs her that that's his brother and that she should easily see the family resemblance. He underwent a heart change. He laid aside his formerly prejudiced and racist views to gain a brother. Now, not only is that a beautiful display of overcoming racism, but it's a beautiful display of understanding. They came together to understand their differences, and that takes a humble posture. It takes a humble posture to admit wrong, to learn from others, and to listen to a different perspective. We love this, yet often we don't do it ourselves. We look at the world and even our nation today, and there are still so many racial tensions, so many broken relationships, there's political divides, and what I think one of the biggest epidemics is that people can't disagree respectfully. People think that if you disagree with someone, that means you dislike them. And even as Christians, we participate in this. We see incredibly redemptive moments happen when someone admits wrong or apologizes. We all love and root for reconciliation and forgiveness, and understanding is the key to this. We've likely all held out that someone will come around and see our side, or maybe we've been the ones stuck in our stubbornness. But still, what a strange contradiction this is. We want to see something so bad, but too often our pride gets in the way. So tonight, I want to highlight these contrasting views of ways that people live in the world. I want to talk about the foolish way of understanding versus the wise way of understanding. My goal is to offer what I hope to be helpful to you as we think about these things and apply them. And at this point, I must place the question on you: which path will you take? Let's look at first a foolish understanding. Let's read again. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. We could paraphrase the verse this way. A fool only cares about his own opinion and doesn't care to learn. Now, what flows from this? The foolish person has a prideful disposition towards God and man. This is the natural state of mankind. The foolish person is so absorbed by their own views that they don't think they can learn from others. The foolish person would rather think they are right about something than actually seek the truth. If the foolish person engages someone, they might actually not want to have a dialogue. Or if a foolish person is in a real dialogue, they might only be thinking of their response. They still don't actually want to hear someone else's side. A foolish person might not even want to be challenged. The foolish person might engage someone just to get a rise out of them. The foolish person might only hold a certain view because it's unpopular, or because it's popular, sorry. The foolish person doesn't ask questions about why someone believes something. They might just assume the worst about that person. They don't value understanding because a new understanding will require them to adjust accordingly. A foolish person thinks their wisdom is not from God. They think it is their own or that they've earned it themselves. To summarize all these points and maybe this verse, you could say that the foolish person is not teachable. A leader of the Navigators, a Christian discipleship ministry, says this about the person who is not teachable. I have known a few people who wanted to learn, but somewhat ironically, didn't want to be taught. They wanted to learn on their own and weren't sincerely open to having anyone else speak into their lives. It's sad, to say the least. If a person isn't teachable, he will be resistant to hearing instruction both from God and from others and will likely make little progress when it comes to personal growth and spiritual maturity. This is a foolish way of living, and it comes directly from pride. And pride is the greatest enemy of teachability. Does any of this describe you? If it does, there's hope. There's hope in the gospel to change your disposition. And there's grace through Jesus' sacrifice to confess your sins and hardness of heart. A loving God stands ready to wash you and make you clean if you come to Him. This kind of repentance will help you to begin to walk in the path of wisdom. So we just looked at a foolish understanding, and now we're going to turn to second, a wise understanding. If a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion, it must be true then that a wise person takes great pleasure in understanding, and he doesn't care about only sharing his opinion. Now what flows from this? The wise person has a humble disposition towards God and man. This is supernatural. The wise person does care to understand others. The wise person values truth more than their own views. If the wise person engages with others, they do it patiently and truthfully for the good of that person, not for any gain of their own. The wise person allows the other to respond because they care about the responses. They also welcome a challenge to their own views. The wise person might engage someone, but also thinks of when and how would be the best way to do it. The wise person doesn't hold a view only because it's popular, but because they've researched it and investigated and considered it for themselves. The wise person is willing to make necessary changes because they fear God above all else. A wise person knows their wisdom is from God and it's not their own. To summarize all this, we could say the wise person is teachable. In that same article, the author says this: when I'm thinking of investing in a potential leader, the first quality I look for is whether or not they have a teachable spirit. When I observe a passionate hunger to learn and grow and a genuine humility that is willing to be taught, confronted, or corrected, there is no limit to what the leader can accomplish or how much influence he might exert in the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? To know that if you're teachable, that God can use you greatly? He continues, To be teachable means that you have the mindset of a lifelong learner. You're consistently open to learning from anyone at any time on any topic. There's no way to escape the fact that being teachable is foundational to spiritual growth and character development in all areas of our walk with the Lord. If this describes you, then praise God. Praise be to God who takes sinners and makes them saints. Praise be to God who takes the dead and makes them live. And praise God who takes the foolish and makes them wise. But never let your character or morality become a source of boasting, because that too is all from God. This is the wise way of living, and it directly comes from humility. And humility is the greatest enemy of pride. So we've contrasted both, but how do you change? Or how do you become a person of greater humility? How do you grow in your ability to be understanding? Or how do you keep on the right path? And this is my third and final point. I have a few ways to help think about this. This is growth and understanding. First, check your motives. Consider if what you're doing is coming from humility or from pride, and use the word as the mirror to look into. I have a few verses here. You don't need to turn to them, but just listen. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Ephesians 4:1-2. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Philippians 2:3-4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. The foolish will not heed these verses, but the wise will. Next, remember that wisdom and understanding come from God. God put you in the places he saw fit, with the people he chose, with the space and time he's allowed, to hear the words and sermons he's planned to bring you to where you are today. This should humble us to know that this is God's grace to us to grow and stretch our minds. It should never cause us to boast or become proud. It should make us more humble in our interactions with others. It should also make us more dependent on His Spirit to pray for more wisdom and good opportunities. And it should also let us pray for those who preach and lead us to help impart God's wisdom to us. And finally, think of your salvation. It takes an immense amount of humility to admit you're a sinner in need of mercy, and then to look at God's provision of Jesus as your sacrifice to have your sins atoned for. Do not forget this humility you had upon receiving Christ. It takes the same spirit of humility to continue learning more about God. And if you're not a Christian, this is the most humbling act of all. Jesus says in John 14:6, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. No moral standing in your own eyes or in man's eyes is good enough for God's holiness and his perfection. You are still tainted by sin and selfishness and foolishness. But if you would trust in Christ's death and resurrection to cover your sinful state, you will get to God now and forever. This is the first step in true wisdom. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you would help us be teachable. I pray that you would help us be a humble people. I pray that you would help us think of your Christ and how he dealt with people in grace and truth, and in a world where there's so much moral subjectivity and relative truth. And I pray that we would stand for truth, but I pray that we would do this humbly, Lord, in all our interactions, and that we would care for others well, and that we would be more focused on winning people to Christ than ourselves being right. I pray this all in your name. Amen.